look at somebody and tell them that this means war. Come on, let's give God another hand. Thank God for the praise team who have blessed us again tonight. I'm going to ask that every head would be bowed for just a moment. God, we thank you, we honor you in this place. We realize that if it had not been for you, we would not be here tonight. But we're grateful and appreciative of so many blessings. Like you blessed us early this morning when you touched us with your finger of love and allowed us to see another day. Have your way in this place. God, you get the glory. Your name be magnified. And we'll be careful how we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. We claim victory even right now over every demon, every devil, every hindering spirit. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And all the people of God shouted amen. Come on, say amen again. Let's give the Lord a thunderous applause and bless him all over the building. In Jesus' name. I got a feeling everything is gonna be all right. Whoa, yes, everything is gonna. Holy Ghost told me everything is gonna be all right. Whoa, the Holy Ghost told me everything is gonna. I said the Holy Ghost told me everything is gonna. I hope y'all don't mind, but can I say it again? I got a feeling everything is gonna be all right. Whoa, yes, everything is gonna. Whoa, said this one more time. The Holy Ghost told me everything is gonna be all right. Oh, the Holy Ghost told me everything is gonna. I said the Holy Ghost done told me everything is gonna. Oh, 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 oh. All right. Oh, be all right. Touch your neighbor, say, I don't know what you're going through, but I got a feeling that everything is gonna be all right. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Giving honor to the Spirit of Christ first and foremost, to the esteemed pastor, the man of God, the mouthpiece of God, the servant of God. Somebody ought to be clapping by now at the Greater Brookville Baptist Church. We are grateful to be in the presence of this wonderful man of God. Thank God for this pastor who has been so hospitable, very kind, very generous. And I learned a long time ago, Pastor Terry, that folk don't have to be nice. And so I'm thankful and appreciative of every act of kindness. It's been refreshing. It's been good to be in his company. You know, some folk, when you're with them, I call them Drano. But Pastor Mitchell has made many deposits these 3 days, and I treasure the time we've had to spend together. And I just thank God for Pastor Mitchell, and I thank God for his lovely wife. Amen. And it's the first family. Let's give a hand to the first family. Amen. Thank God for, again, all of the officers and members of Greater Brookville. I want you to know that my stay has been wonderful. I'm almost tempted to ask Pastor to invite me back next week. It's been that basket was so nice, and I thank you so much for every act of kindness, every handshake, every smile. And I want you to know that you have been a blessing to me this week. And then we are thankful, God, for these pastors, Dr. Downing and Pastor Terry. We thank God for these brothers who have come to support us tonight. And then I thank God for these, my sons, that have come to be here to help me get back home. Yeah, I'm indebted to all of these brothers. They have been by my side. They'll forget Dr. Mitchell. I had to go to Shreveport, Louisiana. Somehow I got my flight all messed up. Reverend Hardy, stand up, Reverend Hardy. He was my armor bearer back then. And he said, "I'll drive you." And I'm telling you, he drove so fast. Reverend Mays was with me. I got in the back seat and I went to sleep because I didn't want to see what happened. And they've traveled with me throughout the land and country. And Reverend Mays, Pastor Mays, First Baptist Jarrett, stand up, Pastor Mays. Thank God for him. And then my present armor bearer, Reverend Neil from Atlanta, Georgia. And he works at Virginia State. I think he worked today, didn't you? And what department you work in? Student conduct. So when your children come acting up, they'll see him. And he's been such a blessing to me. I'm telling you, it's good to have friends. And when you find one, hold on to them, because they're hard to come by. Thank you, praise team, again. Give it up, this praise team, and the ushers, and all of you. I'm not going to worry your patience tonight. There is a word, and it's found in the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 3, chapter 1 rather, and beginning at verse 3. If you could stand with me very briefly for the reading of God's word. And it says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name was of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." You may be seated. I want to talk on this final preaching night. Revivals don't end on Thursday or Fridays. But I want to talk tonight from the subject, "It's More Than a Notion." Turn to somebody nearby and tell them, say, "It's more than a notion." I've been blessed, Pastor, to be around some great people. But I've also been exposed to some unpleasant situations. I was privileged to pastor in the great state of Texas. And I recall, as I get older now, I find myself recalling things. When you get on the downslope, I'm on the downslope. You might as well recognize where you are. I'm on the downslope. I don't have the energy that I used to have. But thank God I do have the power. And so I remember a preacher and a pastor that had been with the congregation for many years. He was out in the country. It was so dark out there that you had the pipe light in it. But he had a church out there in the country. And he decided to motivate, to challenge the people. "Let's build a church near the highway." And he made great sacrifices and motivated the people to build this wonderful church near the highway. And after they built that church, after they put up this wonderful edifice that people were talking about, this preacher pastor had gone without his salary to make sure that that church would be built. And after they had built the church, it was not long after that that they called a meeting. And in that meeting, they decided to vote the pastor out because they said he was too ignorant to be their pastor. That thing hurt that old preacher. It hurt him to the core of his being. In fact, he died with a broken heart. He became bitter. You know, it's a terrible thing to be a bitter preacher. But people can drive you to a place of bitterness. And that man died, and nobody could encourage him. Nobody could help him to get out of that deep darkness. And he died with a broken heart. Many people along the way, many pastors tried to tell him to get over it. Let it go. Give it up. Don't you get tired of folk that see you going through and think that you can just come out of it. Don't you get tired of folk who think because they give you a scripture and a quickie prayer that you ought to get back on your feet right away? Can I be honest tonight? There are times that I don't want to hear anybody tell me it's going to be all right. I want to just wallow in my pain. Here this man, he died with a wounded heart. I sense tonight that there are those of you who are the walking wounded. It may not have been a church, may not have been a congregation, but somebody walked on you like a welcome mat. Somebody stabbed you in your back. You know, everybody that hugs you ain't trying to help you. I've discovered that everybody takes me out ain't looking at the menu. I've noticed that doing this work can be hazardous to your health. I've noticed that at times it looks like God has gone on vacation. He's seeing folk clip you and cut you, and he won't even blow the whistle. He see folk gold tending what you trying to do, and he won't even blow the whistle. It's more than a notion. To shake some stuff off, it's more than a notion. I want to just shake it off and put it under my feet, but it's more than a notion. Touch somebody and say, it's more than a notion. It's, in other words, it's more difficult than you think. I would walk away from this, but it's more than a notion. I've discovered that the Word of God is my book of solutions. I've discovered that if you can relate to the Word, you can get an answer. And so tonight, for just a moment, I want to look at somebody else's situation. I really didn't want to mess with you, but give me an opportunity to look at somebody else's situation. Yes, sir. Here in the book of Ruth, we find a wonderful couple that find themselves in a difficult place. There's a famine in the land of Judah. There's a famine. There's some hard times that have showed up. If you keep living, something's going to happen. Yeah, I don't care how cute you are and how sanctified you are. If you just keep living, something is going to happen. And so they decided to move out of the place of praise. You know, Judah means praise. And it's, I don't know if that's a wise thing to do, is to leave praise. I believe if you praise him, something will happen. I believe that praise makes up the difference. Some of y'all got a headache, but you ought to just praise him. Well, somebody said, praise him. Why? Because you still got a head. They moved to a neighboring place called Moab. Moab is the name of the eldest son that came out of an incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughter. Y'all so busy looking at green leaf and power and all that stuff, but it's all in the Bible. And so out of that union came a son called Moab. And the descendants moved right next to praise. And so Naomi and her husband, they moved there with their sons. They weren't there a long time, just 10 years. That seemed to be a short tenure. But it don't take long for stuff to happen. While they're there, Naomi's husband dies. Then she has sons who marry women that were Moabites. Moab not only represents the son of Lot and his daughter, but they attracted other gods. They became a polytheistic society. They had multiple gods. And one of the things that was required of beautiful young ladies in that religion, in that belief system, was that they had to have sex at the altar with a stranger. And yet these two men, two sons, are now married to these women who had bad beliefs. But they were around them long enough to find out something about their God. But then the sons died. And now Naomi is bitter. Some of y'all right now are bitter. Too bitter to be blessed. And yet, Naomi realizes after she hears that back home, the folk are being blessed. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you ought to touch your neighbor and say, give it time. God can turn it around if you give it time. She's bitter because of her losses. She's bitter because she's had to learn how to live with less. She's bitter because she now has to leave and start back over. And now she's talking to her daughter-in-laws. And said, y'all might as well stay here. This is y'all's place. I got to go home and be embarrassed. Some family members and friends told me not to leave. And now I got to go back home and face folk that said I told you so. Oh, God, I don't know why I'm on this like this. And so she gets with them and give them an opportunity to go back home. Orpah decided that she was going to take it. But Ruth had a different attitude. She says to her mother-in-law, where you go, that's where I'm going. Your God is going to be my God. In the Hebrew, it says it like this. I want to go where I'm going to be blessed by your God. I wish church folk would understand that it's better to be with God and be blessed. Oh, not yet. It's better. I believe I got some witnesses here that gave up their sugar daddy because they recognize to be with God is better. Oh, you may have to take a demotion. You may have to move back home. But it's better to be with God than to be with what the world has to offer. Ah, I felt that. And so this Ruth says, I'm going to go with you because I've heard about your God. I heard. That's why you ought to talk about him. Somebody's hearing. Somebody's watching. Somebody's waiting. I've heard about your God. And I believe that if I go with you, I will be blessed. And so she decides to go with her bitter mother-in-law because she knew there was a blessing on the other side. I want to just talk about two things. I'm not going to hold you long tonight, but there are two things that I sense that you ought to adopt this kind of mentality that Ruth had. And understand, no matter what you are going through, that God always got something or somebody to help you. I'm going to say that again. I notice every time when Naomi got the notice of death, it always said that after that she had this left. When her husband died, said his sons were left. When her sons died, it said you got the daughter-in-laws left. I don't know what you've been going through, but I want to tell you something. You still got something left. You may not have everything, but touch somebody and say, I still got something left. Always there's something or somebody to help you if you let them. I need to interject that if you let them. See, some of y'all are struggling because you won't let nobody help you. You let your pride get in the way. You won't admit that you need some help. But who do you think you are? Everybody needs some help every now and then. And so always, somebody say always. God got something or somebody to help you. But then there's one other thing I see. There's another thing I see. And that is, storms are not always designed to destroy you. Storms are often designed to develop you or to deliver you. Do you not recognize in the passage that she says she's going to return home? Listen, if she had not experienced the storm that she had, she would not have gone home. You see, sometimes in order to go forward, you got to go backwards. I don't know who I'm talking to, but some of y'all need to go back. Yeah, go back to the place where you first believed. Go back to the place where your foundation is. Yes, yeah, sometimes in order to go forward, you got to first go back. And so Ruth and Naomi goes back, but Naomi is bitter. I'm bitter. I'm upset because of my losses. I'm upset because I've had to live with less. I'm upset because I got to leave what I had. But God, I don't believe in accidents. I believe in providence. I believe in the hand of God, in the glove of history. I believe God is orchestrating some stuff. He let some storms come in my life to get me back on the right track. I tell you, she's going back. She's going back with her daughter-in-law, Ruth. Ruth, that she's going back. And Ruth, because of her loyalty. You know, that word, I think, is becoming extinct. Yeah, people don't believe in being loyal. Maybe not here in Lynchburg, but folk jump churches just like they jump buses. They get a transfer every other week. Do you understand that you got to sometimes stay somewhere so God can bless you somewhere? But Ruth was loyal. And she goes with her mother-in-law, and because of her faithfulness, she ran into Boaz. Some of y'all have missed your Boaz because you weren't faithful. Oh, help me. She goes there and she finds out that there is a kinsman redeemer. That there is a relative named Boaz. He was wealthy. He had it going on. And because of her faithfulness and her connection, touch somebody and say, all you need is the right hookup. Because of it, she was blessed in Bethlehem, Judah. Well, I need to tell you very quickly that every storm that you go through is not designed to destroy you. Oftentimes, God will put you in the oven not to burn you, but to bake you. God will let you go through something so he can make you come forth as pure gold. Touch somebody and say, I'm going through this so I can come through as pure gold. Well, I said I'm not going to hold y'all long tonight. I feel like hollering just a minute. Because of the hookup. Somebody said because of the hookup. Because of the connection. because Ruth was faithful, because she believed that if she go with her mother-in-law, that her mother-in-law's God would bless her. I'm wondering tonight how many came expecting God to bless you? How many came expecting God to work it out? How many came to believing that God's going to turn it around? How many came expecting God to work it out? Touch him and say, he will work it out. Well, lest I hold you too long, I need to remind you that it was Ruth and Boaz that had a son named Obed. And Obed had a son named Jesse. And Jesse had a son named David. And David had a son named Solomon. And Solomon had a son named Rehoboam. And Rehoboam had a son named Abiah. And Abiah had a son named Asa. And Asa had a son named Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat had a son named Joram. Yeah, and Joram had a son named Ozias. I wish I had time to call the roll. But you keep looking at the generation of this family, you discovered when you get down the line that they had somebody named Zelethiel. And Zelethiel had Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel had sons. And they went on down to a man by the name of Mattathan. And Mattathan had a son named Jacob. And Jacob had a son named Joseph. And Joseph got hooked up with a woman by the name of Mary. You ought to know that union between Joseph and Mary. Joseph married a woman that was highly favored. Yeah, she was just a young girl, but she didn't have a baby by natural means. But the Bible tells me that the Spirit, she had what is called the Immaculate Conception. And they had a son named Jesus. Y'all know Jesus, don't you? Jesus, born of a virgin called Mary. Jesus, born in a manger. Jesus, my Savior, my Deliverer, my Waymaker. Jesus, the one that turned water into wine. Jesus, the one that took a boy's lunch and fed over 5,000. Jesus, do you know him? He walked on the water. He calmed the sea. Jesus, I wish I had a few more witnesses that know who I'm talking about. Jesus, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, I said, Jesus, my kinsman redeemer. Jesus, my bread in a starving land. Jesus, y'all forgive me, but I feel like a crazy man. Because when I talk about Jesus, my healer, my way maker, Jesus, the one that they hung up high and they stretched out wide. Jesus, I said, Jesus, the one that died on the cross of Calvary. Didn't he die? He died until the sun refused to shine. He died. Didn't he die? He died. Yes, he died. I said he died. I said he died. He was dead all night Friday. He was dead all day Saturday. But early, I said early Sunday morning,
He got up with all power in his hands. I know he lives. I said, I know he lives. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Hey.
It's more than a notion. You can't handle it by yourself. But Jesus is well able to help you carry that load. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. He'll tell you that you're his own. You'll have a witness in here. Anybody been depressed, been distraught, been disturbed, felt like throwing in the towel? Jeremiah felt like that. He was ready to quit. He said, but thy word was in my heart like a burning. I'm trying to let y'all go, but thy word was in my heart like a burning fire. Touch your neighbor and say, don't quit. God's getting ready to work it out. Just hold on. Hold on. Just a little while longer. Everything is going to be all right. Touch your neighbor and say, you're not here by accident. God knew what you needed to hear tonight. It gets rough for everybody, but you got to trust and never doubt. Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see you were there for me. Never would have made it. Is that your testimony tonight? Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see you were there for me. I'm stronger, wiser, better, so much better, 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 better. When I look back over my life, I realize you were there for me. Oh, never could have made it, no. I would have lost my mind a long time ago, but you were there. You were there to see me through. Never would have made it. Never could have made it, no. Encourage somebody. You're gonna make it. 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 Because you're stronger, you're wiser, you're better, so much better. When I look back over my life, I realize you were there for me. Oh, never. Never could have made it, no. Sometimes you can't wait on other folk to encourage you. You ought to say, I'm going to make it. 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 Because I'm stronger. I'm wiser. I'm better. So much better. When I look back over my life, I realize you were there for me. Oh, never. Never could have made it, no. If you believe you're going to make it, come on, give God a hand clap of praise. My Lord. Pastor going to come.
Come on, help me bless the man of God tonight. Come on, let's bless the man of God. Come on, let's bless the man of God tonight. Amen. Everyone standing, if you will, please. We're getting ready. We're getting ready. Tonight is Thursday. It is the final night that we do revival in this setting. I think Pastor McLaughlin has already reminded us as an instructional matter, an inspirational matter, and something intuitive in the matter when he says revival doesn't end on a Thursday or a Friday. It's really up to us to sustain, maintain, and to elevate the revival. And so tonight, I believe that if you're here, and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're going to miss a revival. And you'll not miss no revival. I remember when I was growing up down in Jacksonville, they had a thing called Come Together Day. And it was big doings, man. They would meet in Durkeyville Park, and folk would come from all over because they didn't want to miss it. All year long, Joe, that's all you hear people talk about. Man, Come Together Day, it's almost time. Come Together Day, Come Together Day. And Come Together Day was special, but you had to be there. And, you know, if you miss Come Together Day, folk talked about you. Now, all of them folk out there, and they swear they didn't see you, you know, but you had to be there. And so I'm telling you tonight, this is Come Together Night. You're here. Don't miss what the purpose of the gathering is. And that is that we would develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. You heard the pastor as he went down the genealogy and came to the cross. And that's where it is tonight. I don't know a whole lot of famous people, but I know Jesus. I don't know no rich people, but I know Jesus. And all of that, the world might offer, it didn't save me. Only Jesus saves. And I suggest tonight that you not walk out of 1916 Florida Avenue. Pastor said tonight already, it's no accident that you're here. He doesn't believe in accidents, and neither do I. But I indeed agree with him that providence is the way of life for the believer. We end up exactly at the prepared place, at the prepared time, for a prepared work. And you're here tonight, but I don't want you to run the risk of taking this opportunity for granted. It's more than a notion. And so if you're here tonight and you've not accepted Jesus Christ, I would that you come. These preachers, I guess we could all tell you tonight, and Dr. Mays and Dr. Hardy and all of us can tell you that we've seen a trend that disturbs me. I cannot speak for my brothers, but I believe they'll say amen when I mention this, that we've been doing these revivals, but we're seeing less and less people coming down to accept Jesus. I don't understand that. I remember when I would do revivals, 5-6 folk at a time, and by the end of the week, they'd have 25-30 folks stand up and start a journey with Christ. And all the revivals I did this year, I don't remember anybody coming. I did quite a few, thank God, but it's scary to me. Scary to me. And then I look out and see church is looking like we got snaggle tooth. You know, we don't have a full set in the church anymore. Look like some teeth missing here and teeth missing there. And because our fellowship ain't what it used to be, we don't even want to pull all the teeth together and look like a crowd. And so it is tonight. We're not finished, Pastor Mac. We're not finished. We're going to turn the page. Sunday morning to be here before I know it. And we're going to try again. I'm going to get back out there. And I'm going to try again and see if we can't get somebody to accept Jesus. And so it is tonight. If you're here, would you please make a decision? Don't leave tonight. This Dr. Dunning is right around the corner on 5th Street. Churches all over this city and the county. I'd love to have you hit Greater Brookville, but if you don't cotton our community and congregating, we'll see to it that you get somewhere. But I don't want to send you in nobody's house as a renegade and a rebel. I want to send you as the redeemed. I want to be able to tell that pastor that on a Thursday night, this brother, this sister accepted Jesus Christ, and we highly recommend he or her to you as a disciple. I believe in discipleship life. I've been members of a whole lot of things, didn't do nothing for me. But discipleship saved me. I'm a disciple. I don't do membership in the Lord's. I do discipleship. And so I can recommend you as a disciple to somebody. And so it is tonight. We're going to get ready to go. But I also want to say to you that I believe in prayer. I believe in prayer. I don't think you have much of a life if you don't pray. And you're putting too much to chance by not covering it with the anointing and prayer. As Mrs. Harmony Walker was singing tonight with the other spiritual girls, there is something about that blood. And you can plead that blood. And that's what a good prayer life will help you do. And I don't know about you tonight, but these 55 years have been covered by the blood. Amen. I was a fool sometime, but somebody was praying for me. Amen. I didn't know who it was, but I tell you what, when I came out of the wilderness, I said, thank you, everybody. And so tonight, if you are here tonight, I heard Pastor mention this week some medical issues, back problems, knee problems, some serious headache issues. So tonight, we want to pray with you tonight as we get ready to go. If we at least did that in the church. We knew how to come and pray together. And I know you're not in a hurry, but I won't let you go in a meaningful time. But I don't like to go without prayer. When I get in my car every morning, I sit there and pray a few minutes. When I get back home, before I get out, I thank God that I'm back up on the hill. A little prayer. And you don't have to try to impress God with deep words. You know, God understands broken English, pidgin, Yiddish, God understands all that, but we ought to pray. I want to pray with this preacher tonight, and my friend, I'm going to miss Pastor McLaughlin, and George was kidding with me, them guys down there. One thing Pastor Mac taught us, and George and Joe and all of them can attest to this, is how to be sons together and brothers. Man, it ain't nothing like fellowship with all of us. When we get together, man, it's something, and I don't get to see those guys much, and I'm so glad they came down tonight. And that's the first thing Pastor Mays said. Man, where you been? Man, we don't see you nowhere. And that, I told him they took my card and took my passcode and everything. And I have to run solo now. Tonto even left me. I am the Lone Ranger. I am he who rides alone. I'm the Pale Rider. But I miss those guys. And he's going to leave. I've enjoyed him, man. I know y'all don't want to hear this, but I got to tell you, we went to breakfast the other morning. We got there right about 10:15. At Cracker Barrel, and so we took the lunch menu, but we sat there until 2:20, just talking. Him pouring into me, and you know how sons are, they try to impress their father. I tried to pour into him a little bit. I wasn't going to let him out-genius me. You know, I tried to say something wise every now and then, you know, but he was pouring into me. I'm in a place right now, and he helped me. And I wanted to thank him by showing him that he hadn't wasted his seed. He hadn't cast his pearl to the swine on this little boy from Duval County. I love this man. Last night when I was praying, I thought about him, and he's been through, y'all. And he mentioned last night that his heart was down to 15% at a time. I don't know what a world without Wesley McLaughlin would be. Vicky pick at me all the time, and so does Wanda. They say I'm a crybaby, but this man has made my life so much better. So I need y'all to pray for my pastor. Well, he's doing good now. He hit that ball out there a couple times a day, and I started to say something. I was going to remind him that you said the other night that Peter cussed. I want to cuss. But I love him. I love him so much. And I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss him. I don't get to go up that way. And he's just, y'all know, y'all can see, he's some kind of guy. Man, they don't make him like this, man. You know. Amen. Y'all got to do better than that. I'm talking about my pastor. Y'all got to do better than that. Y'all got to do better than that. So, Doc, thank you so much. Thank you, man. I'm in love with you. I'm indebted to you. Maybe we can do it next week. I don't know what your schedule looks like. Amen. He preaching. Okay. The hand you're holding. God bless you tonight. You're able to hold somebody's hand. You're not alone. Pastor just said there's always something left. There's always somebody. How many times have you in this life ever had somebody say this to you? Why you didn't tell me? Why you didn't call me? Lord, child, I might not have done everything, but I'd have done something. And so tonight, you can testify that I'm not by myself. People walk up to me all the time and say, aren't you Rev. Mitchell? I say, yes, I am. They speak. I don't even know their name, but I know they know me. And that changes things. So you're not alone tonight. You're standing by people who have traveled great distances and gone through some things. If we were to disrobe tonight, and please don't, but if we were, you'd see scars on everybody. Everybody's got scars. Yes, sir. And we can tell you when they happen. We can lift up and say, I fell right here off my bicycle, or my cousin put a firecracker in my back pocket, you know. But look at us. In the words of the old saints, we're all right now. We ain't 100%, but we're all right now. And so in closing tonight, I just want to be all right. I don't know what God's going to do on tomorrow. I don't know what God's going to do even in the next five, but I'm all right right now. And so my prayer for you as a pastor, shepherd of sheep, is that you be all right. I'm not trying to minimize your plight. I'm not trying to minimize your struggle, your frustrations. As Pastor said tonight, sometimes you just want to wallow in it a while. Sometimes you want to cry a little while and let somebody bring you some soup and a cake or something. But I want you to be all right after a while. My grandmother used to sing that, Pastor, back in the church. That was her song, that after a while song. They let Mamie Perkins Williams get it. They didn't have microphones back then. You had to have some throat in you. And they let Grandma get up there, and she do that after a while thing, and she get that little strut to her. You know, she's a portly little woman. That was a nice word for fat back then, portly. My grandmother was portly, but they let her sing all right after a while. And she'd rab back a little bit, and she'd get her leg up as high as she could. But I want you to be all right after a while. When you leave me tonight, don't forget about me, and I'll try not to forget about you. I'm scanning now by panorama and trying to get a visual picture of all of you tonight. So when I close my eyes, you do know when you close your eyes, the recall button comes on. I will remember that Neil was all the way to my left and that Susan was to my right. Rudy was just about over there and Yvette was there. I will remember. My grandson was standing in the door. I'll remember. And I'll ask God touch you with favor, provision, protection, providence, prosperity, and more than anything, that he'll give you power. Squeeze that hand and say, I feel my power coming. I feel my power. Come on, tell him, I don't mean to hurt your ring finger, but I feel my power. I came in here tonight and needed some power. I came in here tonight
I needed some power, and I feel my power.
And holding your hand has made me powerful. Get that power full. Your cup is running over, honey. Your bridge has been reassembled. Your defenses are now in place. No devil in hell can get to you now. No weapon formed against you. Everything's going to be all right. I got a feeling. My feeling spurs from my faith. This ain't no jackleg stuff here. I got a God who can make it happen. Won't he make it happen? Won't he make it happen? Hallelujah. God, our Father, tonight, we got to go. Lord, we love to tarry a little while longer, but we got to go. There's a world out there that needs our light. It needs our salt. And we're bringing it with power. We ain't half-stepping no more. We're going to be picking them up and putting them down. We're coming, Lord, knocking down strongholds, and we're tearing down barriers. We're building bridges and bulwarks. We're coming, Lord. World help is on the way. We know our Redeemer lives, and we're bringing it. We bear in ourselves the essence of God, and we bring essence. We bring emancipation. We bring empowerment. We bring it because we got it to bring. And so, Lord, it is tonight we're very thankful. You have repatriated your people. We are now again among the enlisted. And our mission is sure. We have heard you say, go ye therefore. And Lord, you said it to me. I felt jealous because I thought you would only talk to my neighbor, but you're no respecter of person. What I didn't realize, Lord, you were making your way down the line. I didn't have to get out of the line. I should have stood there a little while longer because you had something to say to me. And I'm glad I stayed until Thursday to get my marching orders. I'm going to gird up my loins. I'm going to tighten up my belt. I'm going to sharpen my sword. I'm going to straighten up my helmet. Because the blood still works. And I'm going to get out there and drop my net again. Thank you, God, tonight. I'm not defeated. I've been delayed, but I wasn't denied. I'm coming. I'm going to make a difference in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, touch those who are sick among us. Touch us, Lord, tonight. This world is making food too fast, and water doesn't get filtered right. So stuff's getting in our bodies. But Lord, cover us. Heal us from the infirmities of our own foolishness. We're diabetic and we eat wrong. Blood pressure high and we're eating chitlins. Heal us from our own foolishness. We should have took that colonoscopy. We'd get over the fear. We need to go regularly, Lord. Heal us from our own infirmities. Make us strong again. And God, we got work to do. Touch every family, every husband, every wife, every son, every daughter. Touch every preacher, pastor in this room tonight. Touch them, God, because it's frustrating out there. It's hard out there. But God, give us the wherewithal to fight the good fight. And to endure until the end. Halfway ain't gonna cut it. Three quarters ain't enough. We got to come all the way. And so God bless these preachers and deacons and trustees. And bless all of us, Lord. Don't mean to minimize the power of the thing you do. But for Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. Thank you so much. Now give us traveling mercies. We've got a long way to go. Pastor's got a distance to travel. And these men have come to help him. Nothing like having a Macedonian spirit. Get him back home safely. And all of these two tonight. God, thank you. The old song they would sing in the church that simply says, this may be the last time. We just don't know. But we're going out on a high note. in the name of Jesus. And the church said amen. Amen. And amen. Hug at least four or five folk. Show some love tonight. Get some of that church makeup on you. And we'll see you. Thank you, preachers. Dr. Farmer, thank you.